Look in your Bible in chapter number 30. Here is a prophetic passage of scripture in the book of Jeremiah. I'm going to read chapter 31, but I want you to look back to the last few verses of chapter number 30. Here, the Lord is speaking through Jeremiah a prophecy in regard to Israel in these last days. I don't know if you watched the recent news or not about the assault on Israel by the missiles that were shot. I was listening to it. Their defense system destroyed on 2 days ago, over 20 missiles fired at them. Now, if that had not happened, you'd be looking at headlines today of thousands of Israelis killed by those rocket attacks. And yet, God's taking care of that little nation of Israel. I was reading this morning devotional in the book of Deuteronomy. And he said, when I bring you into that land, he said, I'm going to bring you into a people that are mightier and greater than thou, but I'll give thee the victory. And I'll tell you right now, when you look at little Israel and all of the enemies around them and around the world that are their enemies, the difference is God. And I'll tell you right now, you better be on God's side and have God on your side. If that's the case, then sure, your enemies are greater. Sure, the world, we are a minority. But thank God, with God, we are a majority. Amen. He's able. And so here is a prophecy about Israel in the latter days. And look at verse 22 of chapter 30. And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind, and it shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. Boy, I was thinking about that as I was reading this week and praying over this passage of scripture about the devastating tornadoes. And it's still an awesome sight and to see the devastation in a matter of seconds that can be caused by a tornado that God, who's in control of everything. But here is an awesome judgment of God. And he says it's as a whirlwind of fury. And it's a continual whirlwind, and it shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. And the fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he hath done it, until he hath performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it. Now that's in the Lord bringing judgment on this world because of sin and coming to the aid of Israel. But now look at chapter 31. At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Would I'd like to call your attention back, and if you mark your Bible, would you please look at verse number 2. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness. I love that little phrase. They found grace in the wilderness. Will you bow with me for prayer? Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Spirit this morning would speak to the hearts of the vast radio and internet audience, even here across our state and around the world. I pray, God, that you'd speak to this great gathering of people here in this auditorium. And God, I pray for those who are today in the wilderness place, that they'll find grace in the wilderness. And I pray, God, the Holy Spirit, God, would anoint me and give me that anointing that'll make the difference. Our Father, there's no way that I can do or say anything that will be of eternal value to this great company of people apart from the anointing and power of God. Our Father, I pray, O God, that you'd speak. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God, I pray that you'd save this morning. I pray, God, you'd deliver this morning. And God, that you'd bless this morning. And God, we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I like that little phrase, they found grace in the wilderness. The wilderness in the Bible is pictured as a dreadful place. Nobody chooses to go to the wilderness. That's not where you'd want to be. But sometimes, unexpectedly, you find yourself in the wilderness. Sometimes because of circumstances beyond our control. Sometimes because of our disobedience. We end up in a wilderness place. It's a dreadful place. People don't want to go there. It's not only a dreadful place, but my dear friend, it is a very dangerous place. In that wilderness, there are so many enemies, and people are so vulnerable when they get there. When the saints of God wander away from the Lord, they wander into a wilderness. When people are lost and they're in the wilderness, my dear friend, it's a dangerous place. In fact, the Bible says this in one place. The man of God says, as thy soul liveth, there is but one step between thee and death. I was talking last night with Brother Linwood Carroll, and we were talking about some things in regard to just history and all. And he was telling me about talking with a friend of his who came by to visit him a few days ago, who was in Vietnam. And he said, in that situation, that man came to believe that he had a guardian angel. And he told about the circumstances of being under enemy attack and standing up on a position, firing his weapon. And all of a sudden, something pulled him down. And he said, there was nobody around him. There was nothing there. And he said, as he was pulled down, he said, around from the enemy's weapon, went through the glass, his glasses, and knocked the lens out. And if it had been a half inch further, it'd have blowed his head off. And he said, I have no idea who pulled me down. But he said they were on one of the Humvee type transports. And he said, they stopped at this particular place. And he said, he stepped out of the vehicle and he took a step to the right. His buddy right behind him stepped out of the vehicle and took one step to the left and stepped on a landmine, and his body exploded. And he said, just one step. And you know what? The Bible says in that place called wilderness, there's but a step between thee and death. Here you are, you're in the wilderness, and it's a dreadful place, and it is a dangerous place. It's but a step between you and death. It is a desolate place. In the place called the wilderness, there's no joy. In a place called the wilderness, there's only dryness and sadness. In that place called the wilderness, there's no provision and no protection. It's a horrible place to be in that place called the wilderness. It's a dreadful place, and it is a dangerous place, and it's a desolate place. It is a dry place. But can I say to you, as you think about the wilderness in the Bible, it is a directionless place. There are no smooth paths. There are no highways. There are no way to get there. And there's nowhere to, no true path to follow where those who've gone before. It is just a place of no direction. And my dear friends, sometimes you get in a wilderness in your own life when you just don't know which way to go. You don't have any leadership. You don't know which way to go. But can I say something? You can find grace in the wilderness. My dear friend, many today are in the wilderness of sin. As you read about the history of Israel, they'd come to a place that is in fact named that, the wilderness of sin. And many today in the sound of my voice are in that place called sin. The Bible said that God had concluded all under sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But for those who don't know the Lord, my dear friend, this place called sin, the wilderness of sin, is an awful place to be. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. That's a place where there's no blessing. There's a place where there's only impending judgment and death. The wilderness of sin. Some of you who are saints in the sound of my voice, I talk to people almost every day now on the highway, and they call me. And many of our good friends on the highway, God, by His marvelous grace, in a wilderness of sin, has put a highway shepherd CD in their path, and God's did a work in their heart, or either they're under conviction, they call me, and I talk to them. And all the stories you'll hear about those who had a nice family, had a beautiful wife and children, and yet sin entered in. And before they knew it, they had drifted into the wilderness of sin. It cost them their finances. It cost them their family. And they lost their joy. And they'd been in such an awful place. But God gave gave grace in the wilderness of sin. I'm glad that God came to where I was, and He came to where you are if you've been saved in the wilderness of sin, and He saved you. And for those who are the saints of God who disobeyed God, and you're out in that wilderness place, you remember the days when there was joy and happiness and peace, and now you're in that place called wilderness. Not only is there a place called wilderness of sin, but I believe there's a place called the wilderness of suffering. Oh, I watch things in the hospital. I had a chance to talk with a lot of people and give out a lot of CDs. But oh, there's so much suffering. And as we sat around and talked about what people were going through there, and it brought to memory, and people began to tell about so-and-so and all that they went through, and the awful physical sufferings they'd been through. And some of you, by no choice of your own, are going through the wilderness of suffering. It may be physical. It may be a family member. Their body's racked with cancer. And you're in that wilderness place. It seems as if there's no end to it. And it has been exhausting physically. It's been exhausting financially. It's been exhausting emotionally in that wilderness called suffering. I know of people who have, their mate has died and been taken from them. And I pray that God will give them grace. But I see that they live almost in a wilderness of sorrow, not only of suffering, but of sorrow. There are many of you who are going through that wilderness called sorrow, and you don't know how in the world you'll go another step when your life's mate has been taken, or when tragedy has entered a home in the life of a child or a family member. You enter that wilderness called sorrow. Oh, it's a dreaded place, and nobody wants to go there, but sometimes you find your place in the wilderness of sorrow. Sometimes you'll find your place in the wilderness of sin. Sometimes in the place of suffering. My dear friend, can I say something to you? There's only one hope for you, and there's only one hope for me in whatever the wilderness you're in today, and that is the grace of God. Here He says this, the one who was left of the sword, all that they'd been through, they found grace in the wilderness. And I say something, God the Holy Spirit knows where you are. He says in this passage of Scripture, look at it. It said in verse number 2, thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. I'm glad that whatever suffering you're in, whatever sin you're in, whatever sorrow you're in, He knows where you are. My dear friend, I'm glad that He loves you with an everlasting love as pictured in this passage of Scripture. But He not only knows where you are, He comes to where you are. Some people say, I know what you're going through. They may be experiencing, sometimes they just can only imagine what you're going through, but they, out of a compassionate heart, say, I know what you're going through. But really, they may not. And it's one thing to know what somebody's in, to know what somebody's going through, but here's something that God does that nobody else could do. He said, I went to where they were. Oh, listen, I was preaching the other week about that Good Samaritan and how the man was beaten up and down in the ditch, and he was left half dead, stripped of everything he had. And yet the Bible said that the Good Samaritan went to where he was. I'm glad He not only knows where you are, but I'm glad He'll come to where you are. I'm glad, my dear friend, wherever you're at tonight, in the darkest night of the wilderness, whether it's sorrow, whether it's suffering, whether it's sickness, or whether it's sin, He can come to where you are. He came to where you are. But not only does He know where you are, and not only will He come to where you are, but He can change your substance. He talks about Israel, and He said the desert will bloom like the rose. And my dear friend, that happens literally in Israel every day. Our good friend, Brother Gary Wood, who's been there, and Tom Robertson, recent days, he said, I asked him, I said, was it like what you expected? He said, more. He said, you couldn't believe it. He said, the medians in the roads down there where we have medians here, he said, they're fruit trees planted all up and down those roads. And in the medians, he said, there's fruit trees hanging full of fruit. He said all on the countryside, just beautiful vegetable gardens, every kind of vegetable you could ever imagine, every kind of fruit. That desert is blossoming like a rose. He said they've gone up in the mountains and those rock crevices. He said they've ran irrigation through the rocks. And he said, literally, he said there's fruit and there are vegetables growing out of the rocks. There. Can I say to you, whatever wilderness you're in, God can make it blossom like a rose. He can bring you out of darkness into the light. He can deliver you and set you free. He said, I will cause them. He not only knows where you are, He'll come to where you are, but He can change your circumstance. He said, I'll cause them to rest. My dear friend, that troubled soul that you're in right now, the Bible said there's no rest for the ungodly, for like the sea that's tossed to and fro, they have no rest day nor night. But I can say this to you, that when God comes to where you are, and when the Lord comes to where you are, He can speak peace to your soul. He can give you that peace in your heart. He can cause you to rest. My dear friend, He can forgive all of your sin. I think I may have recounted this to you, but 2 years ago, I was invited to go preach in a little camp meeting down in the panhandle of Florida in Lake Park, Georgia, actually, but it's all right there on the Florida line. And on the last night of the meeting, I was doing the preaching, the Weary Family singing. And God moved in an awesome way in that service. And over this side, the preacher and a bunch of people gathered around. And there was such rejoicing and praising God. I never even knew what happened until after I left. But there was an old man there that got saved. And he preacher called me and he said, Brother Billy, he said, God met with us in a wonderful way. I said, I know that. He said, I'll tell you something. I knew the young lady at the front. I knew her from days gone by when I was in Valdosta. And God delivered her. And God brought her out of a wilderness. But over here on this side was an old man. And he said, that old man on that side is in his early 80s. And he said, God saved him. Said, first time he ever walked in our church, God saved him. He said, that man, we prayed for him and prayed for him. People tried to talk to him. Said, that man lived a wicked life. Said, he never had a public job in all his life. He's lived a criminal's life all of his life. And he said, the last several years of his life, he said, he's been involved in the mafia. He's like a bookie and all that stuff. And he said, but God saved him that night. And boy, God delivered him out of a wilderness just that quick. Came to where he was after a whole life of sin and living in that shame and living in that sin. God delivered him. And then last January when I went to preach, I was standing in the hall before the service and greeting people. And I looked and this old gentleman came down the hall. And when he came to where I was, I'd just been speaking, you know, just a simple word, people walking by. He came and he stopped and looked at me and he took my hand and he said, I want to thank you. And I said, well, I appreciate that. And he said, last year, he said, I got saved by the grace of God. And he said, I just want to tell you, it's the best feeling I've ever had. I didn't know a man could feel that good. And he said, I didn't know I could have such peace in my heart. And listen, can I say this to you? I tell you right now, whoever you are, whatever you're in, God can come to where you are. He will come to where you are, and He will do something about it. He'll give you rest to your soul. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. You can have that this morning. You can have it in the Lord, and you can have it. What is His motivation for doing that? Why does He do that? Why does He come to that place? Well, look back in the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, here's a wonderful little verse that God spoke to my heart about, and maybe it will to you. Notice how he describes this circumstance. This is future for Israel. And He's already done wonderful things in Israel up to this point, but He's going to do greater things in the future. But looking back in time, in chapter number 32, look at verse number 10. Here's what He said. He said, I found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness, He led him about, He instructed him, and He kept him as the apple of His eye. Why? Look at verse 9. For the Lord's portion is His people, and Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. And back in chapter number 31, look at verse number 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You say, Brother Billy, when did He ever love me? When did He ever love me? He's talking about Israel. I tell you when He loved you. Yonder on Calvary's cross, The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What is his motivation for coming to you in the wilderness? He loves you and he wants you to have everlasting life and he wants to deliver you. And my dear friend, there is grace in the wilderness. You think, oh, there's no end, there's no way out of what I'm in now. Oh, yeah, there is. It's grace. God's amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. There's grace to be had in the wilderness. Will you bow your heads in prayer with every head bowed, every eye closed this morning? While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed. You say, Brother Billy, you got through quick. I did. But the Holy Ghost of God's not through. He's not through. I want to ask you a question this morning while we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed. Where are you at this morning? You're here this morning. You're dressed neatly. You've tried to smile and greet people. But way down in the recesses of your heart, you know that you're in the wilderness. You're in the wilderness of sin. You're in the wilderness of sorrow. You're in the wilderness of sickness or suffering. You're there. Seems like there's no way out. You're in the wilderness of shattered dreams. Things that you thought were going to work out hadn't worked out. And it's left you in a place of dryness, a place of discouragement and danger. I want to tell you something. He knows where you are. He knows where you are. During camp meeting last year, Brother Tom Gillum came. And boy, he preached a tremendous series on My Lord Knows the Way Through the Wilderness. All I have to do is follow. I want to encourage you this morning, if you know the Lord, to do what he said. Cast all your cares upon him. Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I want to encourage you once again this morning. In the wilderness you're going through, will you come to him? Will you come to him? And if you're lost this morning, you say to me, Brother Billy, if I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. I want you to know that God will save you this morning. He loved you. And he came to Calvary to prove it. And he suffered and bled and died. And there he bore all your sins on the cross on that tree that you might have everlasting life. It's your gift. It's free. You're in here this morning by no accident, by divine providence. You're here. There in the radio audience, the internet audience, wherever you're listening, God had a word for you this morning that there's grace in the wilderness. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, let me ask you this in the building, first of all. How many of you say, Brother Billy, I'm a Christian, but in my family and in my personal life, I'm going through a wilderness. It may be of sorrow. It may be suffering. It may be sin. But I'm a Christian, but I know I'm not living in the fruitful land of Beulah. I know I'm not in that place where the roses are blooming. I know that I'm in that wilderness place. And I desperately need this morning the touch of God's grace. Would you raise your hand this morning across this building? God bless you, my dear friend. I want to tell you something. He said he loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, he hath drawn you with cords of love. He loves you. He's drawing you by his grace this morning. He spoke to your heart because he loves you. And he said, please come to me. As a believer, come and confess your sin. As a believer, come and cast your cares on me. I want to help you. Now, while we're still praying, in this great congregation here and in the radio audience as well, I wonder if you died right now, do you know you'd go to heaven? You may be a visitor guest in the building. You may be a longtime member of this church. You may have been raised in this community. But you do not know for sure you're saved. And you say to me, Brother Billy, If I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. And preacher, I want you to pray for me that I'd be saved before it's too late. Nobody's looking. Would you raise your hand? Preacher, if I died, God bless you. Somebody else? God bless you, dear friend. God bless you. Somebody else? I want to say to you this morning, you may be here, a young person, teenager, young adult, senior citizen. You don't need to go another moment. You don't need to go another day not knowing you're saved. You can know. These things have I written unto you that you might know that you have eternal life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you call on him now? If you will, while we have our heads bowed, eyes are closed, you have everything to gain and nothing to lose. From your depths of your heart, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you believe that Jesus Christ bore your sins on the cross, if you believe that he died and was buried and rose again, and you want to be saved this morning, you're willing to turn from your sin and turn to the Savior. If you get saved, you'll get saved like everybody else has by believing and calling from a repentant heart, a believing heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and confession's made unto salvation. Now with a believing heart, with a repentant heart, would you pray these simple words with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I believe you died for my sins on that cross, that you were buried and you rose again. I believe with all of my heart that you know me, and in loving kindness you've drawn me this morning. I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me and for dying for me and for saving me right now.